Rows of warehouse-like studio buildings are reflected on the edge of a shiny brass shield, which turns to reveal the framed letters WB, the logo of Warner Brothers Pictures. Beneath it, the words 75 years entertaining the world. A set of nested silver V-shapes, the logo of Village Roadshow Pictures. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman star in Practical Magic, with Diane Wiest, Stockard Channing, Goran Vishnik, Chloe Webb, and Aidan Quinn, based on the novel by Alice Hoffman, produced by Denise Donovi, directed by Griffin Dunn. On a remote hilltop, Puritans are watching a woman standing on a gallows.
For more than 200 years, we Owens women have been blamed for everything that has ever gone wrong in this town.
Is that why people hate us so much, Aunt Frances?
They don't hate us, sweetheart. We make them a little nervous.
Let's face it, Jet, we Owens women have always created a stir. It all began with your ancestor, Maria. She was a witch. The first in our family. And you, my darlings, are the most recent in a long and distinguished line.
Is that why they wanted to hang her? Because she was a witch?
Well, the fact that our Aunt Maria was a bit of a heartbreaker didn't help. Nor did it help that most of her lovers had wives on a hanging committee. But no, I don't think it was either of those reasons. They feared her because she had a gift. A power that has been passed on to you children. She had the gift of magic.
Maria, in a long off-white dress, jumps off the gallows platform. The noose rope breaks. Landing on the grass in a puff of smoke, she stands to face her audience.
And it was this very gift that saved her life.
The assembled crowd stare open-mouthed before fleeing. Maria watches them coldly, and then looks up at a seagull overhead.
She was banished to this very island, with her unborn child growing inside her belly. She waited for her lover to rescue her, but he never came. No one came.
She stands by the wooden frame of a house.
In a moment of despair, she cast a spell upon herself that she would never again feel the agony of love. But as her bitterness grew, the spell turned into a curse. A curse on any man who dared love an Owens woman.
A family on a modern day beach.
So is that why Daddy died? From the curse?
Yes, my darling.
A man plays with two small girls, one a redhead, the other a brunette.
Your mother knew. She heard the beetle ticking for your father's death all day long. She knew that when you hear the sound of the Death Watch beetle, the man you love is doomed to die.
The two girls approach a tall white wooden house and are greeted by two middle-aged women.
But that's how you came to live with us. We tucked you into our lives then. We've raised you the best way we know how.
In this house, we have chocolate cake for breakfast. And we never bother with silly little things like bedtime or brushing our teeth.
But with the sweets comes the sour.
So when you find yourself the center of attention...
Hi, you want to play?
It's not that they hate you. It's that, well, we're different.
A group of children over the other side of the fence throw fruit at the girls. The red-haired girl, Gillian, is hit by one of the missiles and falls to the ground. She's comforted by her brown-haired sister, Sally. The girls sit at a table in the garden with their aunts.
Gillian? Sally?
You know the only curse in this family? She's sitting right down there at the end of the table. Your Aunt Fanny.
Oh, come on, Jetty. Even you have to admit that any man who gets involved with an Owens woman is bound to end up 6 feet under.
Spare me.
What about my poor Ethan?
It was an accident.
It was fate.
It was an accident.
No, it was fate.
Accident.
It is fate.
Sally looks inquiringly at Franny.
She died of a broken heart, didn't she?
Franny nods, her long auburn hair draped down her shoulders.
Darling girl, she did.
Aunt Jet looks at the solemn Sally.
Hey, my little witch. Let's go inside and do some spells.
What about my homework?
Oh, pish, tosh. You both are going to learn things in this house that you will never learn in school. Come on, let's go.
Later, the girls are at a table spread with chocolate-covered treats, wearing white angel wings on their backs. Sally blows on an unlit candle, which lights.
Very good, Sally. You know, you've been blessed with a gift.
What about me?
Oh, we don't worry about you, Jelly Bean. Your talents will emerge in time.
The two aunts get up.
Sally, you just stay right there. Keep working on your spells. Just keep working on your spells.
A desperate-looking woman raps on the glass of the back door.
Get the bird.
Get the book.
Franny takes a pigeon from a cage.
I want him so, so much. I can't think about anything else. I don't sleep. He has to leave his wife. He has to leave her now.
Perhaps you might find one better suited.
No, I don't want anyone else. He's all I think about. Why the hell else would I come here?
Take the money, Jet.
The woman throws down a roll of notes. The girls watch from the stairs as Jet takes a long prong from a book of spells, a crystal at one end. She gives it to the woman.
I want him to want me so much that he can't stand it.
Sally covers her eyes as the woman thrusts the point of the prong into the bird's breast. Franny glances up at the girls.
Be careful what you wish for.
A tight smile forms on the dowdy woman's lips before she kisses a picture of a man in his late 30s. Sally buries her head in her lap. Jillian smiles.
I can't wait to fall in love. You will hear my call a mile away. You will whistle my favorite song.
Jillian comes in.
You can ride a pony backwards.
What are you doing?
Summoning up a true love spell called Amas Feritas. He can flip pancakes in the air.
She picks pale peach rose petals.
He'll be marvelously kind. His favorite shape. Be a star.
And a delicate six-petaled white flower, which she twirls in her fingers.
And he'll have one green eye.
In the darkened conservatory area, she picks more rose petals.
And one blue.
She smiles delightedly and puts the collected petals into a large wooden bowl.
I thought you never wanted to fall in love. What's the point? The guy I dreamed up doesn't exist. And if he doesn't exist, I'll never die of a broken heart.
The girls stand on a balcony, tall pines near the house jutting up into the rich blue late evening sky. Sally holds the bowl out in front of her and stares down intently at the petals, which start to drift up like a slowly swirling mass of delicate butterflies, forming a fluttering tendril, passing in silhouette across the gleaming face of the full moon, hanging in the cloudless sky. Sally watches them disappear.
And if he doesn't exist, I'll never die of a broken heart.
The same place many years later.
Get the door!
Jillian staggers towards the balcony, a huge kit bag over her shoulder, which she throws down to a young man below.
Wow. Oh, Sal, you have no idea.
Do you really love him? I mean, enough to marry him?
Oh, come on, Sal, what's enough? I hate it here. I want to go where no one's even heard of us.
I feel like I'm never going to see you again.
Of course you're going to see me again. We're going to grow old together. It's going to be you and me. Living in a big house, these two old biddies with all these cats. I mean, I bet we even die on the same day.
You swear?
Jillian glances down.
Honey, I need your pocket knife. Yeah.
The man throws up his knife, which Jillian catches. She makes a small incision in her right palm and then cuts Sally's.
Your blood.
They press their palms together.
Our blood.
The flame-haired Jillian throws her arms around the now bespectacled Sally.
I love you, Jelly Bean.
Yeah, I love you too.
Jillian climbs down from the balcony. Sally watches as her sister is piggybacked away by her man.
Morning.
Hello, boys.
Passers-by shun them.
Charlie, looking good. Oh, God, what was I thinking?
Oh, Franny, let it go.
Oh, my goodness, Jillian's in Orlando. She's in Orlando.
Oh, I guess that Roto-Rooter man is history.
Well, according to that, he is.
This is insane. She keeps going through all these guys.
Hopefully someday she'll find a guy who goes through her.
Hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Oh, Jet, just give it up.
Never.
God, I miss her.
Oh, sweetie.
Green leaves tumble from a tree. Franny looks up at the leaf fall and carries on. A horse pulling a cart rears.
Samson, just knock it off. Okay?
That's all I want is a normal life.
My darling girl, when are you going to understand that being normal is not necessarily a virtue? It rather denotes a lack of courage.
Well, it's what I want.
Oh. You see this couple here? He's having an affair with the babysitter, and she can eat a pound cake in under a minute.
The young couple hurry on. A young, dark-haired man wearing a green baseball cap wheels a trolley piled with crates past them. He stops and turns. Sally continues walking, but turns to meet his gaze.
Oh, sorry.
She trips over something. Jet notices the exchange and stares at the man, who nods at her. Jet turns and joins the other two walking through a market. Later, Sally's digging in the garden. Jet and Franny are on the veranda.
What time is it?
Any moment.
Franny throws backgammon dice. The aunts look conspiratorially at each other. Sally stops her work and turns round, looking rather lost. She gets up and wanders out of the garden, dressed in ragged grey t-shirt and cut-off jeans.
Where are you going, dear?
Most excellent.
I don't want another heartbreak. I don't need another turn to cry, no.
She breaks into a run. At the market, the baseball-capped man's weighing out apples at a stall. He stops what he's doing as though he's heard something and wanders out into the road. He watches Sally run towards him, followed by a pack of assorted dogs. He smiles broadly and walks towards her. She jumps onto him and they kiss. Some years later, they're still kissing, although he's now sporting a beard.
Today is our third anniversary. And all I have to show for it are two beautiful little girls and a husband I just can't stop kissing. I don't even mind the beard. I wish you could see us. No more stones being thrown, no taunts cried out. Everything is just so blissfully normal. Life is perfect.
The family dance around the living room.
Dear Sal, I'm lying in the sun. I'm hanging by the pool. I've got a million friends. You might say that life is perfect.
Jillian dances with gym-honed men around a swimming pool.
But I don't care about any of it. In fact, I only have two words to say to you. Jimmy Angel.
Jimmy watches her through sunglasses, his dark brown hair unkempt, a 5 o'clock shadow on his face. Jillian slinks down a dimly lit, ornately decorated corridor, sucking alluringly on her little finger, and then running her hand along the rim of a fish tank. She stops and watches a group of men drinking in a room at the end of the corridor. Jimmy moves up behind her and strokes his fingers down the side of her face. He puts a bandana around her head, over her eyes. She smiles excitedly as he takes her hands and pulls her gently backwards.
Angel, angel love, angel love, angel love, angel love. Angel love.
Sally, her husband Michael, and one of their children lie asleep on a bed. Sally's eyes open. A large black beetle scurries across the floor. Sally turns over, pulling the pillow down on top of her head. Later, a dog follows Michael to work. He turns and smiles at it. The beetle disappears through a crack in the floorboards.
Where are you? Where are you? Don't do this to me.
Sally levers up a floorboard.
Come on.
Hey, boys, catch anything today?
Not much.
All right, see you in a bit.
Michael chats to fishermen. Sally turns over a table and puts her ear to the floor.
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
I hear you.
hear you.
She gets to work on another board.
Okay. She good?
Yeah.
No.
The dog watches a cycle team round a corner and roar down the road.
No. No.
Michael pushes his trolley loaded with apple crates across the road.
I know we're in the...
Sally sits in a hole surrounded by floorboards. Michael freezes as the cyclists stream past him on either side. He breathes a sigh of relief. Sally listens and begins to smile. Michael gives a relieved wave at the cyclists and turns. Apples and pieces of wooden crate are thrown high into the air as a white truck smashes into them. The trolley clatters down the tarmac. Night. Sally desperately claws at the glass of the back door of her aunt's house and lets herself in. She marches through the kitchen and looks up the stairs.
It was a curse, wasn't it? He died because I loved him so much!
Oh, my poor little girl.
Jet and Franny, dressed in black, walk slowly out of adjoining rooms, looking saddened and contrite. Franny clasps her hands.
We had no idea when we cast the spell.
What spell? What are you talking about?
Sally looks helplessly at Jet, who sighs.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't. Please tell me that my own flesh and blood...
It was just a little push. You wanted so much to be happy.
We never expected that you would truly love him.
No, well, I did. And I want him back.
She stomps angrily into another room lined with bottles and picks up the spell book.
You brought him into my life, now I want you to bring him back. Bring him back! I have never asked you for anything. I've never asked you for spells, but do this. I know you can bring him back.
Here. We won't do that.
We don't do that.
But you can. You can do this. I know you can. I remember. I found it here when Mommy and Daddy died.
Even if we did bring him back, it wouldn't be Michael. It would be something else. Something dark and unnatural.
I don't care what he comes back as long as he comes back. Please do this for me. Please. Please. Please.
She sinks to her knees.
Please.
Jet and Franny look on, unmoved. Two small girls, one with red hair and the other a brunette, carry cases towards Jet and Franny's house. They're followed by Sally.
This is only temporary, so don't get too comfortable. There'll be no chocolate for breakfast. Homework will be done after dinner. Teeth and hair brush before bed.
Jet and Franny come out to greet them.
And as for you two... My children will never do magic. Ever.
Sally eyes them sternly, and then, casting her head down, follows her daughters into the house. Sometime later, Sally lies asleep in bed, a blanket pulled right over her head. Her red-haired daughter comes in carrying a rucksack.
Mom? It's time for us to go to school.
She wears a black beret. She puts down her bag.
Same time as yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that.
She crouches and lifts up the blanket.
Out of bed, sleepyhead! Mom, I'm worried about Antonia. Do you know she puts on her mouse ears? She drives around town all liquored up, naked.
Sally starts to laugh. Her daughter sits back on the bed.
All right, I'll see you around.
As she gets up, Sally grabs her and pulls her under the blanket.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm just so tired.
It's okay, Mommy.
Holding her daughter tight, Sally kisses her. Later, Sally throws the blanket off her. She stares up at the ceiling. Holding up her left hand, she splays out her fingers, still wearing her wedding ring. She examines her palm.
Jilly.
In another bed, Jillian holds up her right hand and looks at her palm.
Sally.
She strokes a finger across it and then gets out of bed, wearing a sleek black slip. She lights a cigarette. Jimmy, lying on the bed, stares at her.
I was just thinking about you.
You're always thinking about me.
Jimmy sips from a bottle of tequila. She climbs back onto the bed with a grin. kisses him, and removes the bottle. As she backs away, he gets up and draws her to his naked torso, kissing her neck.
Honey, I just have to go to the bathroom.
She walks away, shaking her head and smiling. He grabs her back.
Let's go together.
Jimmy, come on.
I'm just kidding, eh? Go.
She ambles away. He watches her admiringly. In the bathroom, she puts the bottle down on the basin and gets a small stoppered vial from her bag. Opening it, she empties some red granules into her hand and then carefully adds them a pinch at a time to the bottle of tequila. With a playful grin, she gives the bottle a shake and then, catching sight of herself in a mirror, lifts her chin with a look of concentration and closes her eyes. Jillian's on the road singing along to the car stereo as night turns to day and back to night again.
Still I'd be on my feet, I would still be on my feet.
Sally's asleep in bed. A long finger strokes down the ridge of her nose, the nail painted black. Sally's head tosses and she opens her eyes, staring blearily at her late night visitor, Jillian. Jillian strokes her sister's wrist, her smile fading.
I was really, really happy.
Sally convulses in tears, Jillian moving her arm around her to tenderly stroke her back. Later, Jillian looks at a photo of Sally and Michael.
We were going to open up a botanical shop where Mike would get all the ingredients and I would make the stuff. He really loved my mint oatmeal shaving cream. Couldn't stop eating it. And I'm sure all this is really boring to you, but... He really made me laugh.
Angela, what kind of name is that?
Bulgarian.
Bulgarian?
Mm-hmm.
Jillian sits by the fire.
He's from somewhere near Transylvania.
Sally lies on the bed.
He has his whole Dracula cowboy thing about him. He's just so intense. I mean... He talks about our relationship in terms of centuries. Sometimes we just stay up all night worshipping each other. Like bats.
Sally smiles and raises her eyebrows.
Thank God for Jet's belladonna. I'd never get any sleep.
Why are you taking that stuff?
I'm not using it. I'm just giving it to him every now and then, that's all.
So you're drugging your boyfriend to get a little shut-eye?
Jillian scowls.
Doesn't that seem a little strange to you?
Maybe. But he's strong. So much stronger than me. He can survive the curse.
Yeah.
Jillian flicks cigarette ash into a teacup. Later, the two sisters lie under the blanket on the bed, smiling.
Do you forgive our mother?
Thoughtfully, Sally blinks slowly.
Sometimes. But you'll never forgive yourself unless you get up and you get dressed and you brush your goddamn teeth because your breath stinks. And you take care of those little girls.
Yeah, you're right.
They play fight. Sally lies huddled up in bed, her eyes closed. Jillian, next to her with her coat on, traces a finger across her sister's arm and mouths, "I love you."
I love you too, Jillian.
Next morning, Sally stretches out in bed alone, an indent left in the spare pillow next to her. She leans across and buries her head in the spare pillow. Children play on the road running alongside the small docks. Sally walks past them, smiling at some passers-by. She reaches the door of a shop, a sign on the glass reading "Opening Soon," and goes inside.
And tenderness and sweet calm.
Together with two other women, she unpacks elegant toiletries bottles and puts them on shelves. The women laugh at the antics of Sally's daughters outside, making faces at the window. The younger girl wears mouse ears on her head. A group of children carrying school bags jog towards the shop. They stand outside, behind Sally's daughters.
You'd think after 300 years they would come up with a better line.
Sally runs out and pulls her older daughter off a boy.
Really, your troublemaker started this. Put the finger down, Kylie.
I hope you get...
Kylie points again.
Chicken pox!
Kylie!
The crowd backs away.
She was just kidding. She was...
No, she wasn't, Mom.
Mom, run!
She was not kidding.
Witches! What's the matter with you? You're not... Cast, and we do not toy with people's lives. Do you understand? This is not a game.
No, you don't, Cass. You probably couldn't even if you tried.
Kylie grabs her sister's hand and leads her away.
She has all this power and she doesn't even use it.
I think you really hurt Mom's feeling.
Kylie thinks that any man who marries us is going to croak.
Oh, that's such hogwash.
What about your grandpa, Jack and Regina?
Your grandma Regina died of a broken heart, didn't she? How could she do that? Leave Mom and Aunt Julie behind when they were just little girls?
Why won't she ever talk about it?
Was Mama good at spells when she was just a little girl? How come Mama doesn't do spells now?
What's going on in here?
Nothing. Just making toast is all.
Toast pops out of the toaster.
Did you guys finish your homework? There's a storm coming in. I want you guys to go check all the windows for me, okay?
Bye.
The girls kiss Franny and run off. Sally stares at Franny.
Making toast?
Franny's smile withers into a guilty look.
I want you both to watch what you say to those girls. I don't want you filling their heads with any of your nonsense, okay?
We'd never tell them nonsense, dear.
Franny gives Jet a bristled look.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night.
Sally stirs a spoon in a mug. Letting go of the spoon, which continues to stir, she writes,
"Sometimes I feel there is a hole inside of me. An emptiness that at times seems to burn. I think if you lifted my heart to your ear, you could probably hear the ocean. In the moon tonight, there's a circle around it, a sign of trouble not far behind. I have this dream of being whole. I'm not going to sleep each night wanting, but still sometimes, when the wind is warm or the crickets sing, I dream of a love that even time will lie down and be still for. I just want someone to love me. I want to be seen."
She blows on a candle which lights and holds sealing wax to the flame.
I don't know. Maybe I've had my happiness. I don't want to believe it, but there is no man, Jilly. Only that moon.
The envelope sealed, she walks down to the garden gate and pushes the envelope into the mailbox, glancing up at the moon, which has a pale pink halo around it.
Julian.
She runs back to the house and grabs the phone.
Julian, no. What's wrong?
I'm scared. Can you come and get me?
Where are you? I'm taking the first flight out of Logan. I'll need for you to wash the kids for me.
Yes, of course, dear. Just go to Jillian. The children will be fine. We'll take them to the solstice celebration with
no,
us.
No. Why can't you do... Just stay here.
No, dear. We can't back out at the last minute. We're on the committee.
Yes.
We're presenting.
Yes.
Fine, but I do not want them dancing naked under the full moon.
No, of course not, dear. The nudity is entirely optional. As you will remember.
A taxi pulls up outside a motel. Sally leaps out and races over to the motel reception window.
Hello?
She climbs stairs and goes to a door, which she unlocks. Inside, a light is on in the bathroom. She walks towards it.
Sally?
Jillian's huddled on the floor on the far side of the bed.
Hey.
Sally peers through the gloom and goes over to her. Jillian's face is bruised.
The room service here sucks.
Yeah. Let's get you out of here. Come on.
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Sally helps her up and they grab things off the bed and put them into Jillian's shoulder bag. They go outside.
Crazy.
family. We've been driving for 2 weeks. 2 weeks straight. I mean, not even straight, in these zigzags back and forth.
Jillian steps out of her shoe.
And then today he says he wants a jelly donut, right? And he says to the kid, jelly donut with cream. And the kid looked confused. And I said, Jimmy, jelly's not a cream. And then the kid laughed, and then I laughed, and then he punched me. Punched me real hard, the bastard.
Jillian notices the moon.
I know.
Blood on the moon.
I know.
Blood on the moon.
Where's my tiger's eye? No, I need my tiger's eye. Bring me luck. No, I left it. No. I gotta get my tiger's eye.
Probably in the bag, Jilly.
As Sally waits by the cab, Jillian runs towards the car, gets in, and removes a necklace from the rearview mirror. From behind, a hand grabs her shoulder and pulls her into the back seat.
Jilly, honey, just forget the...
Sally looks into the car. Jimmy holds a pistol to Jillian's neck. Sally drives the two-door convertible car along a two-lane highway. In the back, Jimmy swigs from a tequila bottle.
Ah, you want some?
He offers the bottle to Sally. Nope. Sally ignores him and he settles back in his seat, putting a cigarette in his mouth.
Hey, Sally. You ever read any books by Louis L'Amour? Okay, Louis L'Amour was a foreigner, and he loved all things cowboy, just like me, Jimmy Boy.
She sees Jillian talking.
Louis would write stories about the rustlers.
Rustlers were really bad guys.
The belladonna is in my bag.
Sally smiles. Jimmy holds his lighter to a skull ring on his finger.
But before they could sell them, they would try to take away the brand of the owner with an acid or by scrubbing. Unfortunately, they could never get rid of it, so they would be caught and get hanged.
What are you doing?
Come on.
He grabs Jillian's leg.
Can't hide the brand, it's just you.
Sally reaches round, hitting his arm.
Hey, sir, what's the name of it?
Rustlers and branding! Louis L'Amour, who, by the way, is not a foreigner! He's from North Dakota, you asshole!
Just
so you're
force it
freaking
just
me
force
out,
the road.
Immaculate freak! Give me the bottle! Give me the bottle before I plow you into
Okay, just calm down.
Shut up!
Calm down.
Sally grabs the bottle and takes a large swig from it. She takes the belladonna from Jillian's bag next to her.
You know, girls.
And tips it into the bottle.
I'm feeling very into sisters right now.
Sally stares directly ahead. A whirlpool appears in the tequila bottle between her legs, mixing the contents.
You're always on my mind.
Later, they've pulled over, and Jimmy's taking a leak by the side of the road. In the car...
You should have passed out by now. You didn't give him enough.
Gave him plenty.
You were always...
Jimmy, eyes half closed, shuffles back to the car. The sisters watch him nervously.
What's he gonna do?
Just stay calm.
He goes round to the passenger door and climbs into the back next to Jillian.
I made you feel second best. I'm so sorry. I was blind. You were always on my mind.
Jimmy, please, baby. Please, come on. Come on, baby, I love you.
I'm so sorry, Mama.
I want to be with you forever. You know that. I love you.
Really, please.
Jimmy grabs Jillian around the neck. Sally flies round and makes desperate attempts to pull him off and hits him. Jillian starts to choke. Jimmy falls limp.
Sally!
He's out. He's passed out.
Okay.
Later, Jimmy's laid out on the back seat.
How much did you give him, Sally?
I don't know, Jillian. I wasn't using a measuring cup. He was trying to kill you.
Come on.
Jillian tries mouth to mouth. The red halo around the moon is now stronger. Sally and Jillian get out of the car.
Please, God, please, if you get us out of this, I'll be good. I'll have babies. I'll go to the PTA.
I have babies. Jillian, I had normal, and I worked really, really hard to get that normal. But from this moment on,
I will never have
the normal again.
I didn't mean to ruin your life. I just had no one else to turn to.
Get in the car.
Sally goes to the driver's door.
In the car.
They drive along a highway past a huge refinery, its pipes and towers covered with bright lights.
We have to go to the police. It was self-defense. Like the old slowly poison him to death, self-defense. Come on, Sally, they're never going to believe us. You really should stop smoking so much, Julie.
Why? I'm probably going to get life. I should smoke two at once. It'll shorten the sentence.
She takes Jimmy's lighter.
I'm going to lose my children.
Jillian stares sympathetically at Sally.
I know. I don't want you to either.
Jillian strokes her thumb along her bottom lip. Sally rests her elbow on the car window ledge and rests her head on her hand. Jillian looks round at Jimmy's body slumped behind her. She turns back thoughtfully. Sally looks across at her.
What are you thinking? When Michael died, you went to the aunts and you asked them to bring him back, right?
No, but they wouldn't.
Wouldn't? But not couldn't.
No, they were right. They would come back as something dark and unnatural.
But Jimmy already is dark and unnatural, and I don't care what he comes back as long as he comes back with a pulse.
No, no, no. That is not an option, Jilly. That is not a choice.
We don't have a choice, Sally. This is our choice.
Lit in the eerie glow of the moon, the aunt's tall white house stands surrounded by trees swaying in a strong breeze.
You owe me bedtime.
Sally and Jillian haul Jimmy's body across the lawn and into the house.
Oh, he's gonna be so pissed.
A black cat sitting on the stairs snarls at them as they pass and go into the kitchen.
Okay, here we go.
Each taking an end, they manhandle the body onto the table.
Oh, Sal, watch his balls.
You watch him.
Sally goes into the spell room next to the kitchen and gets out an ornate dissection kit. She consults the open spell book and takes bottles of liquid from a cupboard. Jillian cuts down the front of Jimmy's jumper.
Okay, Jimmy. I will get you out of this. But when I do, we are definitely breaking up. It is over.
She slaps his face.
What are you doing? Nothing.
Sally drops the huge spell book down on the table.
Sally, are you sure? You want to do this?
Jillian looks down at Jimmy's frozen, serene expression.
Absolutely.
They burn braids of dried stems in a candle flame and follow the diagrams and symbols in the book. They wave their hands over Jimmy's exposed torso.
Lips pursed, timid wind over tongue in motion, teeth on edge.
Jillian tries to copy Sally's purring sound.
Good enough, good enough. Touch bound in smudge of blue sage with braided wheat straw. Insert needles through eyes of corpse.
Through the eye?
In the eye.
Jillian pushes up an eyelid, revealing gleaming white tissue beneath.
No way! I think we should wait for the aunt.
It's not like he's gonna stay fresh, Jillian. It's now or never. Okay, I need for you to get me something white to write on top of the star. Chop chop!
Jillian returns with an aerosol can of cream.
That's actually brilliant. No, this is good. This is good. Oh. So we're supposed to say, black is night, erase death from our sight. White is light.
White as
mighty hectate, make it right.
Sally draws a Star of David on Jimmy's chest with the cream and tastes it.
Mighty hectate, make it right. Black is night.
Black is night. Erase death from our sight. White as light, mighty hectate, make it right. Black is night, erase death from our sight. White as light, mighty hectate, make it right. Black is night, erase death from our sight. White as light, mighty hectate, make it right. Black is night,
They each hold a needle next to an eye. Jimmy's eyelids flick open, revealing bloodshot eyes. The middle parts are cloudy blue. Dropping the needles, they recoil. Jimmy looks at Jillian.
No!
Won't you be my wife?
He sits up and puts his hands around her throat. Sally rushes over to the stove and picks up a heavy metal frying pan, bringing it down on the back of his head. Out in the garden, Jimmy's body lies in the rain, the water pouring down the skull ring still on his finger. Next to the body, Sally and Jillian use long-handled shovels to dig a large hole of the same length as Jimmy next to a white painted pergola. Gillian listens to Jimmy's chest, and then the two sisters push the body into the hole.
You have the worst taste in men!
They tread down on the filled hole.
Yeah, I know this sounds really stupid and everything right now, but I just really wanted to say, thank you.
Sally nods a little uncertainly as Gillian throws her arms around her.
Thanks for being my sister.
It's all right, let's just put this all behind us now, okay?
Yeah.
What are we gonna tell the aunts?
Nothing.
Okay. They look down at the muddy turf over the filled-in hole, pick up the shovels and go back inside, Sally in jeans and black coat, Gillian in bare feet, her long legs revealed by her short dress, the hem of which is just covered by her jacket. In the late afternoon sunshine, a taxi stops on the road at the end of the path leading up to the house. Sally's daughters and the aunts get out. From the house, Gillian watches them. Sally comes downstairs.
What if they don't like me?
They notice Gillian.
Oh my God! Oh my Gillian! Oh my Gillian! Oh my God! Oh my God!
You guys! You guys are so big! I can't believe this! What?
Oh. Franny and Jet come in.
Hi, Aunt Frances.
My darling little girl. Oh dear.
She inspects Gillian's face.
Mugwort will fix that right up.
Kylie, now, why don't you and I just go to the greenhouse?
I'm so happy to see you, sweetheart.
Jet looks at the bruise.
Don't you worry, dear. Whoever he was, he'll get what he deserves.
Gillian notices Sally's uneasy look.
I think a brownie for breakfast would fix you right up.
A brownie?
A brownie.
You're still doing
it? Of course we'll still do. What do you mean a waste? You've been away
some
too long.
Some things never change in this house.
How long you have been away? Where are they?
On the road, running beside the dock, Sally's in her shop with her two assistants and Gillian, who's smoothing lotion on her arms.
Oh, Sal, I love this stuff. It's great. You've done a great job.
Gillian, if you're going to work here, maybe you could, I don't know. Work?
I am. I'm testing the merchandise.
You guys know where you can reach me?
Yeah, I'll be back.
If anyone cares.
Sally marches out. Gillian grimaces.
Did I do something wrong?
Phone tree day. Parents hotline. If there's an emergency like a snow day, they decide who's the most responsible.
You mean the most popular.
Responsible mother to sound the alarm. Each mom calls the next one down on the list. It's a big deal to get chosen.
But Sally never gets picked because everybody knows she's a different.
Gillian considers. At the school.
Quiet. Third name from the top of the phone tree is Dory Cantcher.
Sally sits miserably at the back. Gillian bursts in.
Hey, sorry to interrupt.
Can I help you?
My sister. Just wanted to see my sister.
She slinks across the room, watched apprehensively by the gathered mums.
A snake tattoo? Yeah. And there's one on her boob, too.
Yep,
that's right. I'm back.
Woo! Hang on to your husbands, girls.
She swings her hips and sits next to Sally.
That's missing now, is me naked without my homework.
Ladies, the second from the top of the phone tree will be Abigail
this
Little.
A woman in front of them.
She screwed Coach Halfacre.
The woman's thumb is hit by something.
It wasn't me.
Well,
it was you.
Finally, I'm so pleased to report this. The top of the phone tree list is
the name Sally is now written at the top. She checks other lists.
some.
They all say Sally at the top.
It's Sally Owens.
Gillian claps.
Now that was me.
Nighttime outside the house. Near the pergola, toads crawl through the grass and the rapidly elongating thorned stems of a red rosebush growing out of the ground. In the kitchen...
I have newt and toe of frog, will of bat, tongue of dog.
Adder's fork and blindworm sting.
Barbados lime is just the thing.
The ants mix ingredients.
Like a sailor's stubble!
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
A blender springs to life. Gillian strokes her sleeping sister's nose. Sally wakes with a start. Sally leaps out of bed and the two of them dance excitedly downstairs. They're handed tall glasses of margaritas, and together with Jet and Franny, they dance around the kitchen table. Waving their arms around, the four of them manically gyrate around the long wooden table. Gillian moves her arms over her head, as though casting a spell. Franny does a little limbo routine. They dance in a line, moving from side to side. Gillian throws her head around, her long red hair dangling down her shoulders in braided pigtails. Sally swirls her grey cardigan around her head. They continue on around the table. From outside the house, their writhing forms are distorted in the rippled panes of glass in the eating area. Later, they sit down in the eating area, a little alcove off the kitchen. A bottle of tequila's in front of them, the same brand Jimmy used to drink, together with a bowl of cut limes. Gillian reads Sally's palm.
I see a man in your future, and he is... He's gorgeous.
Ooh la la, he is big.
You're scared to death, and you wind up like a frigid old hag. You're two frigid old hag ants.
Franny's wide-eyed. Gillian pours herself another shot of tequila.
Where that came from, that was weird.
She's never been interested in her gifts. She just made that all up.
Come on, Gillian has her own magic.
We all know what it is.
Oh, please. Since when is being a slut a crime in this family?
Jet falls onto her side in laughter.
You know about it. When we put that smell on you for Michael,
we had to bind it with molasses. Get your legs.
No.
They pass the tequila around, drinking shots with cut limes and salt. Sally claps her hand over her mouth. Franny sips more tequila, and shot glasses are refilled with more of the golden liquor. Franny and Jet lean blearily against each other, singing.
I just never found a time. You're always on my mind.
Gillian turns the tequila bottle round. Sally grabs it.
Where did this bottle come from?
Someone left it on the porch.
Gillian gets up and throws the bottle into the sink. Jet goes over to her. Sally hangs her head.
What's going on with you? Sally, what's going on in this house? Something's going on, I can smell it.
Yes, it's a very distinct smell. It's a smell of bullshit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A broom falls over.
Broom fell. Company's coming.
They all look around apprehensively. Sally shakes her head.
We had a problem, we handled it.
We deserve an explanation.
Gillian nervously looks at her sister. Jet looks at them both disapprovingly.
Right. Come on, Jet, let's go.
Jet and Franny go upstairs. Sally looks accusingly at Gillian.
No. No. No, it's just not possible. I mean, don't even think it. Tell me how
that got here, Judy.
Tell me how did this bottle get here? It's not possible.
A toad jumps out of the grass near the pergola, the stems of the rosebush rapidly growing up one of the pergola posts. Franny pulls out a box hidden in a stair. Amongst the contents, a cut length of rope.
Leaving like this is a harsh lesson.
A lesson they must learn on their own.
But what about the little ones?
Not to worry, Jetty. A good piece of Maria's hanging rope will protect them.
In the little girl's bedroom...
Mama says she won't take them off. Not until we come home.
They'll only be gone a short while.
You hear us? Yeah. Promise? Yeah. Okay. Love you. Love you too.
Next morning, Sally's younger child, Antonia, is playing a kazoo in the kitchen, a piece of rope around her neck. Gillian comes downstairs. Sally gives her a cup.
Okay, whatever it takes.
Honey, can I see that for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Thanks.
Hey.
Where'd you get that ugly thing around your neck?
The aunt gave it to us. They said it would protect us.
Kylie, could you please go get that mint from the garden before your bus gets here? Thank you.
Kylie's at the window.
Where is the aspirin?
Staring at the pergola.
Honey, please do as I say.
How well he's out there.
A man leans against the pergola.
Not well. Who is that where?
The man under the roses.
What?
Gillian and Sally go to the window and peer out.
I don't see him. Sweetie, are you looking at him now?
He's right there.
Where?
Sally sees the roses.
By the roses.
But not the man.
Overnight.
Oh, shit. Okay, sweetie. We'll get rid of it. You better call the aunts now.
But they left.
What do you mean they left?
What?
Where did they leave? Where did they go?
They said to give you a message.
They look at Antonia.
Clean up your own mess.
Gillian runs out to the rose bush.
You.
She starts to attack it.
You stop it!
Sally pulls her off.
Stop it! He's making them grow, Sally! He's trying to get to her by making them grow!
Leave us alone!
Stop! 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 Stop it!
Gillian points, horrified.
What? His boot!
Two boot caps stick out of the ground.
Oh my god, is he rising?
The boot caps sink.
Where's the... Is the ground sinking? Sal, is he... Oh, God. Okay,
what is
go
he
inside.
Going to...
Go inside.
He's trying to get...
Julie, go inside, take care of the kids.
Okay.
Sally sets to work cutting down the rose bush with a pair of shears. Behind her, a man walks down the path. He's in his 30s, wearing sunglasses and carrying a briefcase. He stops and watches her in bemusement, before wandering towards her.
Kind of early for roses, isn't it?
Can I help you with something?
I sure hope so. Name's Gary Hallett. I'm a special investigator, state prosecutor's office in Tucson.
She stares at her reflection in his Silver Star badge.
Oh, you sure are a long way from home, officer.
Yes, ma'am. I was kind of hoping to talk to your sister, Gillian. She's around. She might have some information on a case I'm working on.
Oh, all right. I'll get her.
All right.
Sally walks back towards the house. Gary picks up a red rose bloom.
How did you know that I was your sister?
Gary looks up from sniffing the rose.
Oh, lucky guess, I guess.
Why don't you come inside?
Sally goes to the attic.
Julie! Yeah. Julie, there's a cop downstairs and he's looking for Jimmy and he wants to talk to you and I think I'm having a heart attack.
Okay, just calm down. Calm down. What is the question?
The question is, how much can he know? Well, gosh, well, he seems to know an awful lot because he's come all the way from Arizona. And I know this sounds really strange, but I don't think I can lie to him.
Oh, my God. Of course you can lie to him.
Breathe. Here is the story, right? Yes, okay. Here's the story.
I left him.
Left him?
I left him. Because he hit me.
Hit you.
And we haven't seen him since.
We haven't seen him
And it's as simple as that. Okay. And you just let me handle the rest.
Okay, good.
All right?
Okay. I'll put you in here.
Since what? Is he cute?
Yeah, he's nice, you know. In a very penal code sort of way, yeah.
Okay, I left him because she hit him, and,
Sally goes back downstairs to find Gary wandering around the conservatory. She watches him carefully from the door into the kitchen as he picks up a jar of seeds.
Just herbs. You know, from the garden.
Oh.
So what brings you to the island?
He pulls out an envelope with a seal on the back. She makes to take it, but he puts it back into his jacket pocket and swallows.
You read my letter?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
It was a very personal letter.
Yes, ma'am, it was. What?
I'm sorry.
She stares awkwardly at him.
Hello.
Jillian slinks downstairs. Sally hits her head on a cupboard.
Good morning, Mr.
Hallett.
Hallett.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I need to find your boyfriend, James Angelov.
I don't know where he is. I wouldn't exactly call him my boyfriend. He's more like a big mistake.
Gary takes out a notebook and pen.
Is that his handiwork there?
Mm-hmm. If a man hits me, he only does it once.
She takes his hand.
Can I, take a peek at your... Wow. Now, I can tell that you've never touched a woman in anger all your life.
May I have my hand back, please?
Sure.
So what you're trying to tell me is that you have no idea where he is?
I told you. He hit me, and I haven't seen him since.
When was that?
3 days ago, right, Sal? Yeah, three days.
3 days? Excuse me. Sally, whose car is that in the driveway? The one with the Arizona plates?
Oh, that's my car.
Oh, that's your car. Huh? Plate number 229 MOB? Uh-huh. That's James L. Angelov's car. Come on now.
Sally nods.
We stole it, and it's a crime. I know this, but he basically kidnapped her, and it...
He kidnapped you?
Well, no, he didn't really kidnap her, he just sort of got a little nap. No, she was, there was a car, and what happened was that she just, you should know, she has the worst taste in men. Well, you do. So anyway, I picked her up and I drove her right back here, and we would be so happy to give him back his car because it is a crime. And as you say, you just don't know where he is to...
Just got a little...
Give him back that car.
So basically, nobody knows where he is.
I'm sorry, what?
So you don't have any idea where he is?
She shakes her head, a red scratch across her neck.
If I just took a look around?
Mm-mm. He wanders off. Furious, Jillian mouths, "What is wrong with you?" Sally replies, "I don't know." Later, they sit with Gary around the table.
This young lady's name was Phoebe Stone.
A photo.
2 years ago, she was found strangled, lying on the side of the highway. Her body had been marked with a kind of a brand, burned right into the flesh. Any help you ladies can give me in locating this ex-friend of yours would sure be appreciated.
They both nod and then share an uneasy look. Gary scrapes dirt from the seam of a seat in Jimmy's car, scooping it into a small evidence bag which he seals. He inspects the contents of the bag and stands up. A tow truck has been hitched to the front of the car.
It's all yours.
Gary interviews the townsfolk, including a boy with chickenpox scars and his mum, Sarah.
Go arrest her! Their niece owns a shop where they cook up a special placenta. And that's why the ants don't age. I tell you, they just don't age.
She's selling placentas?
A placenta bar.
On Halloween, they all jump off the roof and fly.
When they get mad at you, they hex you.
I don't know about the Bulgarian, but I would not be surprised if he turned up in a ditch somewhere.
Sarah, that is not true. She's not saying they murdered him, just that maybe they shook his hand and then... He died. It's very mysterious.
If any man dared take on an Owens woman, he lived briefly in the euphoria of her love until meeting an untimely death.
A gray-haired woman.
The curse.
In the shop.
Rich? Yeah. Evil? No. I mean, you get your psychos now and then, you know, animal slaughter, ritual, human disembowelment, but that's really pretty rare.
See, it's a pagan label. It's Sally.
Hi, Sal.
Hi.
Sally comes in.
She's definitely not into that stuff.
No.
No.
Ms. Owens, okay. I have a bone to pick with you.
What can I do for you, Dwight?
I could have gone to a qualified doctor to tend to this scalp condition of mine. Now, the more I use, the less it works. The product doesn't work.
Well, that's because it doesn't go on your head.
If I don't put it on my head, where the hell else would it go?
She stops her spoon stirring her drink.
To remember.
She gives a pointed smile and then nods. Gary watches enchanted as the man backs away. The man hurries out. Gary smiles. He pays for a purchase.
Thank you. Strange town. Never spent this much on shampoo before in my life.
He leaves and wanders down the road. Sally follows him out.
Am I under some kind of surveillance?
Should you be?
Well, if there's something you want to know, ask me.
I already did. And all I can tell you is there appears to be something missing from your story. Now, listen, I want to talk to you some more, but I got to finish up some homework here. I was about to come by your house tomorrow morning.
Fine.
Okay. 10 a.m.?
Fine.
Okay. That's a date. All right.
He smiles, his brilliant eyes gleaming, and walks off. Sally watches him go, almost smiling, and then turns to saunter back to the shop, taking another look at him over her shoulder. Night. A bird mobile hung from the ceiling of Gillian's attic bedroom turns gently. In bed, Gillian sleeps fitfully. She goes downstairs and opens a set of French windows leading onto a patio. A vase on a table falls over and smashes. She stares out at the pergola.
Jimmy, is that you? Jimmy? Go away.
She goes back inside. A sunny morning. Gillian, Kylie, and Antonia are in the spell room. Kylie consults the spell book.
Okay, to banish unwanted persons, it says you need blessing seeds.
All right. Good.
Gillian looks for the ingredients. Antonia's at the door.
What about nigella seeds?
It's the same thing.
Oh. Oh, wow, it is. Good.
Good. You're
good at this.
Why can't we tell Mommy we're going to send the policeman away?
Because your mommy likes to pretend that she doesn't do magic, and we have to banish this man for your mommy's own good. Blessing seeds. Right, right. What else do we need? Antonia, I told you to listen out the door for Mr. Hallett. Blessing seeds. Right, right.
Kylie takes out a pocket notebook.
Was this Mommy's?
Kylie opens a page.
Yeah, where did you get that?
You can flip pancakes in the air. I'll have one green eye, one blue. Hear my call a mile away.
Was it about Daddy?
Yeah.
But Daddy had brown eyes.
Gillian looks up, considers, and glances at Antonia at the door.
The truth is, this wasn't about your daddy. This was when your mommy was little and she was... she was trying to invent a guy who didn't exist to protect herself. It's crazy. But, oh, you know, she loved your daddy. Oh, she loved him. Very, very much.
I can't wait to fall in love.
Gillian stops grinding the seeds.
Kylie, listen to me. Do you ever put your arms out and spin and spin and spin really, really fast?
She does it all the time.
She does? Well, that's what love is like. Makes your heart race. It turns the world upside down. But if you're not careful, if you don't keep your eyes on something still, you
can lose your balance, you know? You can't see what's happening to the people around you. You can't see that you're about to fall.
Don't be sad, Aunt Jillian.
Kylie strokes her face.
I won't let you fall down.
Mm. He's here!
Go!
Antonia rushes to the front door.
I'm here for breakfast. We're having pancakes.
No, actually, I just came here to talk to your mom.
Great, she's having pancakes too. Come in!
She grabs his hand.
Do you have a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Can I see it?
He shakes his head.
Mm-mm.
He's here for breakfast.
Antonia runs off.
I have a question or two.
He's gonna stay!
Good work! He's gonna stay. Go back out there and keep them away from here. Keep them away.
In the conservatory, Gary picks up a bottle.
Belladonna. It's a sedative. People put it in their tea to relax, calm their nerves.
Some people also use it as a poison.
Which people?
Witch people.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Witches.
Witches.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you found me out, huh? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You should come around here on Halloween. You'd really see something then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we all jump off the roof and fly. We kill our husbands, too.
He gives a quizzical stare.
Outside your jurisdiction.
Do you have any idea how strange this all sounds to me? I got people telling me that you're up here cooking up placenta bars, that you're into devil worship.
No, there's no devil in the craft.
So what kind of craft do you do?
Do I do?
Hmm.
I manufacture bath oils and soaps and hand lotions and shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the aunts, they like to meddle in people's love lives.
She nods, smiling gently up at him.
Magic isn't just spells and potions.
She gazes at him and then taps the breast of his jacket.
Your badge?
He drops his arm and she takes the silver star badge out of his inside jacket pocket. She holds it up with a gentle smile.
It's just a star. Just another symbol. Your talisman. It can't stop criminals in their tracks, can it?
She shakes her head.
It has power because you believe it does.
He gazes at her, captivated. Taking the badge, he rubs his thumb over the star thoughtfully, and then puts it back into his inside pocket.
Wish you could believe in me.
She walks away into the kitchen.
Miss Owens.
She turns.
Are you hiding James, Angela?
Not in this house.
He walks towards her.
Did you or your sister kill James Angela?
Oh, yeah. A couple of times.
He frowns. Antonia's at the stove.
Could you make more of a mess?
Oh, I'm cooking.
I can see that.
Hey there. Have you ever seen a saguaro cactus? Huh? Step aside, you. Well, you're about to.
He takes off his jacket. Sally takes an extra plate out of a rack. Gary tosses a cactus-shaped pancake high into the air. He catches it on the back of the pan. In the spell room.
Flapjacks and goodbye, Mr. Hallett.
Kylie follows Antonia out. Gary's on the patio.
No, we want them.
Careful, they tend to use up his Krispies.
The girls sit at the table and Gary serves pancakes. Antonia inspects his badge.
Forward, sideways, you name it.
Okay, first troll. What is this?
Oh, I don't want it in my pocket.
I'm going to put it on your lap. This is not yours.
Oh, that's all right.
Sally tucks napkins in the girls' collars.
And if you're anything like my girls, here.
Wow.
Keep you clean.
Making a good
food. That's cozy, huh?
What?
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I can call you Gary, can I?
Why not?
Coffee? You must try some of my syrup.
Here's the syrup.
Jillian passes him a jug.
No.
Jillian looks confused as the girls run off with the jug. She gets up and chases after them. Gary and Sally leave the table and watch from a distance as the girls run across the rocks at the water's edge and Kylie chucks the jug into the water.
I guess they didn't want to eat that.
I guess not.
Gary's attention is drawn to a large toad sitting on a rock nearby. He and Sally wander over to it. Gillian joins them and they stare in confusion at the creature. The toad opens its mouth and ejects a silver ring.
Well, I've been looking for this.
Gary picks it up.
This is his party trick, right?
No, yeah.
It's your ring, is it?
Yeah. Could I have it back?
What do you two think you're playing at here?
What do you mean?
Gary turns to look incredulously at Sally.
You better get yourselves a damn good lawyer. And don't even think about leaving town.
He walks off.
What was in that syrup?
In the kitchen, Sally throws the pancakes away.
We just stick to our stories, you know? No body, no crime. It's...
Gillian drops a fruit bowl.
Sorry, I'm feeling like shit. I'm not sleeping. I just...
mine. God, Gillian, that's all you can think about, isn't it? You. It's all about you.
Sally crouches to pick up the pieces.
I don't want to fight. Don't you walk away from me!
Gillian trudges upstairs. Gillian stops.
Yeah, you're right. You're always right, Sally. Oh, one big mess. Just one big mess. Well, at least I live my life. And you hate me for that because it scares the hell out of you.
Gillian, I don't hate you.
Look at you. You spend all your energy just trying to fit in, be normal. But you're never going to fit in, Sally, because we're different. And so are you girls.
You leave them out of this, okay?
All my life, I have wished I had even half your talent. You're wasting yourself, Sal.
I want you out of here. I want you gone.
Okay, fine. I'm gone.
Good.
Sally puts her cardigan on.
What? What are you doing? Where are you going?
Doing the right thing.
No, you are not going to go and tell him what happened.
You know what's funny? Because the moment that man walked into the house, that's all I seem to want to do.
What are you going to do? Get down on your knees and beg for mercy?
Sally shakes Gillian off.
You want me to be true to myself? Huh? Then watch this.
Sally storms out, slamming the door behind her and breaking the glass. The moment she's gone, Gillian looks in pain, doubling up in mild convulsions and clutching her stomach. Sally runs away from the house across the lawn. Gary is strolling through town along the road by the dock. Sally runs up behind him. He looks over his shoulder but keeps on walking.
It was Jimmy's ring.
Oh, really?
I know you knew that, but I needed to tell you.
Yeah, well, I was serious back there. You best get yourself a lawyer before you talk to me.
I don't want a lawyer.
He stops and regards her sternly, then relents, seeing that she means business.
All right.
He leads her into his motel room.
Come on in. Excuse the mess, wasn't expecting company. Have yourself a seat.
A double bed dominates the messy room. It's covered in piles of black and white photos. Sally studies one. He moves them out of the way to reveal the envelope containing her letter. Gary eyes Sally uncertainly as she picks it up and takes out the letter, now well thumbed and creased.
How many times did you read my letter?
Two.
He sheds his jacket.
I have to study all the evidence.
He picks up a dictaphone.
You want to sit down?
And turns it on.
This is the testimony of Sally Owens, March 8th, 1998.
Sally just stands there, stunned.
You gonna sit down?
Sally pauses, then diffidently sits down in a hard wooden chair by the window. Gary sits down opposite her.
Where is James Angelo?
I think he's in the spirit world.
You think he's dead?
No, I think he's haunting us.
Sally pointedly holds out her letter in front of him.
What evidence did you get from reading my letter?
Did you or your sister kill James Angelo?
Jillian didn't kill anybody.
Jillian didn't. Jillian didn't, but you did. Huh? Did you? Sally, did you?
Sally stands up and turns to face him.
What if I told you I did? What would you do?
Gary ponders.
What, would you send me to jail for the rest of my life, all because the world was short a man like Jimmy Angelov?
Well, it's not for you and me to decide how he should be punished.
Gary rises from his seat and steps up to her.
He has to be held accountable.
Well, he has been punished.
Gary leans closer to her.
Yeah.
Gary turns away, picks up his dictaphone, and clicks it off.
You really should get a lawyer's advice before we go any further.
He chucks the dictaphone aside.
Now listen, I know you're in some kind of trouble, all right? If you will trust me, tell me what you know, I promise you, I will do everything I can to keep you from harm's way.
Sally stares coldly at him, then her eyes soften and the corners of her mouth twitch. Suddenly, Gary ambushes her with an impulsive kiss. Sally reciprocates, wrapping her arms around his neck. He pushes her up against the wall and unbuttons her cardigan. Sally starts kissing him again. He picks her up and they collapse together on the bed. He slips her cardigan off her shoulder and runs his hand over her belly. Noticing something, she grasps his face in both hands and gazes into his eyes.
One green eye, one blue.
She pulls away and drags herself off the bed.
What?
Go.
Sally goes, leaving Gary lying shell-shocked on the bed.
I was born with it.
Arms crossed, Sally walks up a stony cliff-top path. Hearing the voices, she stops and turns round.
Sally, I need you. No, no, no!
She breaks into a run. Gary stands looking out of his room window. Sally sprints across the grass towards the house. As she enters the hall, Kylie and Antonia are galloping down the stairs in a terrified panic. Sally meets them on the stairs and they fall into her arms. The girls run on downstairs and Sally runs up into the attic bedroom. Sally stops in her tracks. Gillian lies on the bed, her back arched in a forceful convulsion. Gary rushes up behind Sally and points a gun at Gillian. As another convulsion lifts Gillian up from the bed, Jimmy's spirit emerges, his full bodily form drained of any colour, magically rising from her body. He smiles.
Officer Helen, just looking at you makes me homesick.
Gary's lowered his gun. He walks round the bed. Scared, Sally feels her way along the sloped wall. Jimmy stands up, rolls his head around menacingly, and prowls around Gary, who raises his gun, keeping his gaze fixed on his former adversary. Jimmy's eyes blaze with a malevolent fury, a mocking smile playing on his lips. Sally ventures round the room, heading for Gillian's bed. Gary glances over at her, then back at Jimmy. Jimmy then also looks at Sally and shakes his head warningly. Sally stops in her tracks. His cloudy blue eyes still glinting with menace, Jimmy looks back at Gary. The two men continue to prowl round each other.
What's wrong?
Sally reaches Gillian.
Can't catch your tongue.
Jimmy steps up to Gary and plunges a hand into his chest. Gillian clings to Sally. Gary sinks to his knees and grits his teeth in agony. Jimmy screams and withdraws his hand. Gary's police badge drops to the floor. Jimmy grabs his hand in pain. A livid red star-shaped burn scars the palm of his hand. Sprawled on the floor, Gary looks down at his star and then back up at Jimmy, who is now staring at him incensed. As Jimmy starts to advance again, Gary picks up the star and holds it out as a shield. Jimmy vanishes in a blurry cloud of supernatural smoke. His eyes flitting around in confused astonishment, Gary returns his badge to his jacket pocket and looks back at Sally and Gillian, who are both gasping for breath.
Someday you'll explain this all to me.
Gillian clings onto Sally, who puts a comforting arm around her and hugs her tight. Sally strides round to Gary, who's sitting in the pergola.
What was that, Sally? I mean, that was him, wasn't it?
I mean, is he gone or what?
Yes, you killed a spirit, but I'm the one who took his life. But I will tell you everything you need to know. I'll tell you how I did it. I'll tell you where I buried him. I'll tell you what I did it with. I'll tell you
Hold on. Just a goddamn second, all right? One step at a time. I took an oath to uphold the law, all right? I thought I came here to bring in the bad guy, because generally, that's what I do.
Now on his feet, Gary paces back and forth in front of Sally.
You asked me how many times I read your letter. I must have read it about 1,000 times. I know now that it was your letter more than anything else that brought me here. It was you. And I'm all mixed up about that.
Gary shakes his head and raises his moist eyes to look at Sally. She heaves a sigh.
The reason that you're here and you don't know why is because I sent for you.
Gary frowns, scrutinizing her.
When I was a little girl, I worked a spell so I would never fall in love.
Sally, as a girl, sits backwards on a white pony.
Qualities in a man that I knew couldn't possibly exist.
Pale peach rose petals drift down.
Blue.
Gary strokes the hair away from her face.
But you do.
He half smiles cynically.
You're saying what I'm feeling is just one of your spells?
Yeah, it's not real. And if you stay, I wouldn't know if it was because of the spell, and you wouldn't know if it was because I didn't want to go to prison.
Gary paces away and turns back to her.
Yeah, well, you know, all relationships have problems.
Nodding, she lowers her eyes, and the smile fades from her face.
I'm right, aren't I?
She swallows anxiously.
You don't know, do you?
He looks at her tear-stained face, mulling it over. Sally's dark eyes are gently pleading.
Well, you do what you do, and I do what I do, and you'll see where we end up.
Sally nods, forcing a stoical smile.
Okay.
She keeps staring fixedly at the ground. Heading off, Gary stops.
Curses only have power when you believe in them. And I don't.
He takes a couple more steps, then pauses again.
You know what? I wished for you too.
Looking at him, Sally's face crumples and she begins to sob, bowing her head as Gary walks away down the path. Sally goes back inside the house. She hovers by the door for an instant, motionless, then turns away, wrapping her cardigan tight around her. As she drifts across the hall, Gillian appears in front of her. Gillian regards Sally, her head tilted to one side. Sally approaches and they share a hug. Holding tightly onto her, Gillian licks the side of Sally's face, presses her mouth against her ear, and growls. Sally pulls away from Gillian, alarmed.
I'm feeling very into sisters right now.
Gillian strokes Sally's chest. Sally shakes her off and turns her back on her. Sally slugs Gillian to the floor. Kylie and Antonio rush in.
Come on.
Franny and Jet arrive.
It seems we've not arrived in the nick of time.
Well, I see our...
Later, they've tied Gillian into a chair in the living room.
Like a toad.
And this is what comes from dabbling. I mean, you can't practice witchcraft while you look down your nose at it.
I know.
Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it.
We have to banish him.
We have to force his spirit back into the grave.
We need a full coven.
9 women. 12's better.
To Sally.
Do you have any friends?
On the phone.
Linda! Hi, it's Sally. I'm activating the phone tree. Look, you know the stuff that everyone's always whispering about me? The hexes, spells, the... Well, here's the thing. I'm a witch.
I got the best news. Sally just came out.
What a fabulous affirmation.
But apparently her sister just got out of a very bad relationship, and now the guy will not leave her alone.
The witches set about clearing the living room. Jet clears sheet music off the piano. Antonia removes pictures from the wall, hands them to Franny, who hands them to Kylie. Ornaments are taken off the mantelpiece and replaced with candles. Antonia and Kylie turn Gillian's chair round. Gillian grins mischievously as the girls wheel her across the room, leaving behind a trail of warty toads. One of the mums from the phone tree is on the phone.
Oh, can you bring a broom?
Kylie, Antonia and Sally light the many candles filling the mantelpiece. Sally breathes on an unlit candle and a flame springs up. She smiles slyly at the girls, who give it a go themselves. A bucket of water is thrown in the hearth. The girls tip a sackful of toads out in the garden. The toads hop away. The girls turn round to see vehicles arriving. Linda and the other shop assistant arrive with brooms. Jet welcomes two nervous-looking mums into the cluttered kitchen.
Anne, it's so good of you.
Hi.
No, now's not the time to be shy. Come on in. Grab yourselves a spoon. You can stir.
One nervous woman jumps at a tarantula in a jar. Franny's stirring a large pot on the stove.
Right over here. You grab that spoon. You dig right in. Now, doesn't that look great? And the fumes. I have to tell you, the fumes are great for the pores. Not to mention sealing his nasty spirit back into the grave.
Oh, once I was halfway across town, my daughter had a nightmare, and I swear to God, I could hear her crying.
Please, a little witch in all of us.
Sally enters.
He's almost ready on Jeff, actually.
Sarah has arrived.
Well, Sarah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Well, you know that ever since I was a little girl, I've wanted to see inside your house.
Well, thank you for coming.
Is this okay?
A new arrival with a mini vacuum cleaner. Swarming into the living room, their jaws drop at the sight that greets them.
Ladies, pick a broom, form a circle.
Oh, shit.
They venture further inside.
I've been strung out by a guy before, but this is...
The women form a ring around Gillian, who's writhing around in the middle of the floor.
Would each of you now pick up your brooms, hold them at staff length, handle to brush?
The women obey.
Remember that as we go forth, it is only with our hearts beating as one that we can save the life of this child.
Franny begins to chant.
Dite perdant. Te maledico. Dite perdant. Te maledico.
One of the nervous women whispers to Sarah.
Are we supposed to say this?
All the women join in. Gillian squirms in pain on the floor. Gillian thumps and claws at the floor. Sally looks scared. The women rock their heads back and forth. A picture falls off the wall. The women's faces are filled with intensity. Gillian stretches an arm out. Sally flaps her hands fearfully.
Stop it!
Still outside the circle, Sally drops to her knees and shouts to Gillian. Gillian tries to hurl herself at Sally, but mid-air she hits an invisible wall and crashes back onto the floor. Sally crawls round to her, staying outside the brooms now laid down in a circle.
Gillian,
Sally lies down on the floor, a broom separating her from her sister. Later, the candles have burnt down low. The two sisters still lie inches apart. The women watch as Gillian begs with Sally.
You have to hold on. Jill, you have to stay with me. Jilly, Jilly, no, stay with me. Jilly, stay with me, stay with me, Jilly, Jilly. He wants me. Just me. No. Everyone will be safe.
No.
Just let him take me. supposed to die together, remember? At the same time, you promised me that, and this is not that day.
I love you, Sally.
Sally gets purposefully to her feet.
Okay, wait. I've got it. Get them back in the circle.
Sally dashes out to fetch something. Soon Sally is back, sitting on the floor in front of Jillian. Jet carefully slides the broom separating them out of the way, forming an opening in the circle. Sally methodically tips some salt onto her hand, licks it off, and takes a slug of tequila from a bottle. She reaches into the circle, waves the bottle under Jillian's nose, and puts it down.
Hey, Jimmy, I got a worm with your name on it.
Eyeing Sally with a mixture of suspicion and malice, Jillian sits up.
Yeah. You thirsty?
Jillian casts a moody gaze around the room, then looks back at Sally, who stands her ground. Jillian then looks down at the tequila bottle, blinking woozily, an envious smile spreading over her face.
Is this what you want? Well, this? You can't have.
Jillian swings for it. Jet grabs her hand. Sally makes a cut on her own palm.
My blood.
Then Jillian's.
Maria's blood, now!
Sally grabs Jillian's hand and hugs her. A dazzling light engulfs them. Images from the past flash by. The sisters arriving at the house. Sally tending to Jillian after she's been pelted with fruit. The two joining hands to become blood sisters for the very first time. Jillian leaving home.
I love you, Jillian.
The women round the circle join hands. Out of the bright white light, Maria's face briefly appears. Jillian lurches back as if struck by a powerful force. As the light fades away, Jillian is back to normal. She gives a delighted smile. Sally too. All the women fall about laughing. But Jet and Franny look up at the ceiling where a swirling grey cloud is gathering.
Heads up, ladies.
Ash rains down.
Dust to dust.
The shadowy form of Jimmy's exorcised spirit crumbles to the floor.
I wonder if that would work on my ex-husband.
Come on, ladies. Let's clean house!
They grab their brooms and sweep the ash from the living room floor through the house.
Through the kitchen! Follow me!
As the women process through the kitchen, the huge pot of bubbling red potion is lifted off the stove. Sally and the women, Antonia and Kylie included, sweep the ash into a heap in the garden at the spot where Jimmy's body was buried. Sally and Jillian take the pot and tip the potion onto the pile of ashes on the grass. A column of white smoke rises up from the ground. Sally and Jillian exchange a look and a tentative smile. A hole is burnt into the ground. A sunny day. In the garden, the pergola is back to normal, the rosebush gone. Sally throws a branch onto a bonfire. A UPS delivery van pulls away from the house. Jillian carries a package round to the garden.
Hey! Yeah? There's something for you. From Arizona.
Jillian hands her the package. As Sally opens it, something falls out. She picks it up, hands it to Jillian, and reads the letter enclosed. Jillian throws Jimmy's skull ring into the bonfire.
Dear Miss Owens, any further investigations? Office hereby concluded that James Angeloff's cause of death was accidental. Jewelry found in the ashes of the structure provided positive identification. Sincerely, Gary Hallett, Special Investigator.
Sally searches inside the empty envelope.
I don't think he's in there, Sal.
Sally looks at the letter again, shakes her head, and looks up at Jillian with a serious expression.
What would you do, Jillie?
What wouldn't I do for the right guy?
Jillian cuddles a black cat. Sally stands on the roof, silhouetted against the evening sky, looking out over the water. Holding a maple leaf in her hand, she looks around, reaches out, and lets the leaf drop. The wind catches it, and it floats up into the sky towards the crescent moon. Lying at home, Gary looks round towards the window. Gary turns up at the house. Sally emerges from the bushes, wearing an attractive floral dress.
All around, like a glove.
Jet and Franny, wearing wide-rimmed sun hats, stand in the fenced garden, watching. Jillian too watches and gives a happy laugh.
And I knew.
Gary's cautious smile grows as he reaches Sally and stares into her pretty face, the soft sun lighting up his own features. Antonia and Kylie perch in a tree also watching as Sally and Gary fall into a passionate embrace, kissing hungrily. Halloween. Kids in costume and their parents swarm around the White House. Sally, Gillian and the others, all dressed as witches with black dresses and pointy hats, appear on the roof.
Can love travel back in time and heal a broken heart? Was it our joined hands that finally lifted Maria's curse? I'd like to think so.
The shop assistants.
There's some things, though, I know for certain. Always throw spilled salt over your left shoulder. Keep rosemary by your garden gate. Plant lavender for luck. And fall in love whenever you can.
Sally gives Gary on the ground an affectionate wave. He waves back. Sally and Gillian smile at each other, then Gillian narrows her eyes in mock seriousness. Together, the witches step forward to the edge of the roof and put up black umbrellas. Then they jump off the roof, float down, and land on the grass in a light puff of smoke. The delighted crowd gathers round them. Gary picks up Antonia, one of the witches, and cuddles her. Sally greets a friend. Gary grins and plants a loving kiss on Sally's lips. ITFC audio description was written by Mark Leavesley and Adam English and was read by Mark Leavesley.
If you